You know, perhaps you've heard that in this life we should be more like a thermostat instead of a thermometer. How many of y'all heard that before? It's sort of a common metaphor as we think about that. Both of those instruments, as you think about them, are instruments that have to do with the temperature. All right? Both of those have to do with temperature. But the thermostat, it reads depending on how hot or cold it is around it, right? I mean, a thermometer is not always the same. If it's really hot, then it reads really high. The red goes way up, doesn't it? It changes with the weather around it. If it's really cold, it gets down to the bottom. And if it's lukewarm, it's right in the middle. But my point with that is that circumstances change a thermometer. That's what happens. But the thermostat, on the other hand, we should be more like the thermostat than the thermometer. The thermostat, on the other hand, is unaffected by the circumstances. It's static. It's unchanging, right? It can be 100 degrees in the shade, but that thermostat's still going to say 70 or whatever it is that you put it on. I like mine on 70, all right? Circumstances don't affect a thermostat because a thermostat is fixed. It's solid, right? And we, my friends, this morning should be more like that thermostat, which is unaffected by our circumstances. In other words, there should be consistency in you and in me, a consistent joy, a consistent hope, a consistent character. We don't adjust to the surroundings. We set the tone for the surroundings because we have Christ living in us. That's exactly what we see here in Paul's life. As we close out this book of Philippians here, I know this. We're not going to end on the last verse. We did the last verse last week. But I wanted to come back and make this the final message from this book because I believe it's a message that sort of sums up everything that Paul is talking about right here. This passage really gets to the heart of it. You see, his joy, his devotion to God, they were unwavering. It didn't matter what he was going through. Remember where he is when he writes this letter. He's in prison. He's in jail. He's in Caesar's palace. He's in prison there with a praetorium guard all around him. All around him. And he doesn't know at this point, will I live or will they chop my head off? Or whatever they did to kill people in the circumstances. He didn't know what was going to happen. But again, all throughout he says, again, I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. He even rejoiced in the fact that God had put him in prison because he had seen the guards come to know Jesus. He was a thermostat. He didn't go up or down or get depressed or get happy based on the circumstances. There was a consistency there. His contentment was relentless, unbroken. It was continuous. Now, when I say that word content, what does that mean? That means to be happy and satisfied. How many of y'all want your life to be like that? Happy and satisfied, right? I'm going to put up both hands. I want a double portion, right? Don't give me just a little happiness or a little satisfaction. I want it to the fullest. I want to say this. That only happens in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You can have a little joy for a little time. You can have a little satisfaction for a little time in other things. But if it's going to be lasting, if it's going to be continuing regardless of what happens around you, that only happens by Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul was here. He was content. He was content. But what was his secret? What was his secret? Everybody's looking for the secret of life. He had found it. Paul had found it. Look what we see in our text. Let's look at our text. Brother Tony just read this, but I want to read it again to help it soak in. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. Paul writes, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you," this is the Philippian church he's talking about, "that at last you have revived your concern for me." They had sent a messenger with some money. His name was Epaphroditus, and they had sent a financial gift. "You've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him," that's Christ, "who strengthens me. First, did you notice in the passage how circumstances didn't affect Paul, did they? They didn't affect him. Poverty or prosperity didn't matter. Hungry or having a full belly didn't matter. Having plenty or suffering need, his contentment wasn't flinched. It didn't flinch. It didn't move. Now, yes, when Paul says, I rejoiced, he did rejoice when they sent the money. But again, notice what he says. When Epaphroditus showed up with that money, he didn't rejoice because he now had money. Notice what he says, verse 17. This isn't part of our text, but it applies here. He says, verse 17 in Philippians 4, not that I seek the gift itself. In other words, not that I want your money. I don't want your money. He said, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. You see, he rejoiced because what it meant for the Philippians. What it meant for the Philippians. It meant that they were concerned about the ministry, which was an indicator that they were still red hot and wet hot in love with Jesus Christ. They were still following Jesus. They were still concerned about the ministry. They wanted to see the gospel expand, the gospel grow. And them sending money was an indicator that that was true of them. And he rejoiced in that. But it also meant that they were storing up treasures for themselves in heaven. Right? That's what they were doing there. They were storing up for themselves. As he said, I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But you know what? Whether they had sent the gift or not, Paul says that he would have been content either way. Is that true of you? Be honest with yourself this morning. Are you the type of person that you're fine as things are going fine? You're fine as long as everything's sort of rosy and going smoothly, right? You're happy, you're joyful, you're hopeful, all those things, as long as nothing difficult's going on in your life. But when trouble comes, when the hard parts of life come knocking on your door, do you find yourself depressed and despondent and hopeless and turning away, getting distance between you and Jesus? Is that where you are? Which is it with you? Are you content no matter what? Either way, I want to share with you the secret to that this morning. Paul has that. He said, I've learned. That ain't something we're born with, is it? It's not. You know, I mean, listen, I've got children. I've got a one who will be 2 years old next month. And Christy and I saw this demonstrated so perfectly this morning, okay? It doesn't take much to get him bent out of shape, right? But you know what? It also doesn't take much to get him happy again, right? That's sort of, you know, that's how we are. We're sort of as children. This morning, his mama fixed him a nice little bowl, red bowl, a bowl that a kid would love of frosted mini wheats, right? No, I want yours more. You know, he wanted Christy's bowl, so he reached over, whoosh, snatched her bowl and brought it over and gave her his. He wasn't satisfied, right? And he does things like that all the time. That's what children do. That's what those who are immature do. They get bent out of shape because what happens to them really easily. Now, we're not children in that regard, right? We're grown up. We're big. But oftentimes, when trouble comes our way, we get bent out of shape. We're not consistent. We're not content. Our happiness is fleeting because it's attached to our circumstances. But Paul says, I've learned the secret. Regardless of the circumstances. Did you notice his secret there? It was right there. It wasn't stuff. It wasn't being in the perfect place with a perfect view and in his happy place. It was right there. Notice what it was. It was Jesus. You say, oh, preacher, I expected you to say that. I'm at church. No, I mean it. That ain't the church answer. That's the answer. Guys, listen to me. Jesus Christ is greater than anything in the world. You can put up anything, compare it to Jesus, and Jesus is greater than that. Right? He's what you need. That's what you crave. And maybe you don't even know that's what you crave, but that's what you need. I promise you this morning, if you're whatever you're facing, whatever it is you're trying to find your happiness, your joy in, you will not find it until you get connected to Jesus Christ. So that's the point I want to share with you this morning. A relationship with Jesus is the secret to a contented life. Remember what I said a contented life is? It's a life that is happy. It is a life that is satisfied. And that's the secret. That's the point this morning. A relationship with Jesus is the secret to a contented life. You see it right there, particularly in verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. If he took out that last part there, that through Christ, he couldn't do all things, but through Christ, he could do all things. So why is it? I want to share with you three reasons from our text this morning why a relationship with Jesus Christ is the secret to having a contented life. Actually, I want to share four with you. First, we see here, a relationship with Jesus supplies strength to rise above circumstances. A relationship with Jesus supplies strength to rise above circumstances. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Guys, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It might be a firing squad. Did y'all hear that just recently like 80 Christians in North Korea were put to death? All right, it doesn't matter if you're facing the firing squad. Or it doesn't matter if you're on the beach in Maui. It doesn't matter. Whatever you're facing, Jesus supplies strength to rise above circumstances, because every circumstance, it comes with its own temptation. It's a different temptation, different scenario, but nevertheless, every circumstance, every situation comes with its own circumstances, its own temptation. And so it takes that supplied strength from Jesus. And so what he's talking about here is something that is supernatural. Something you and I can't do on our own, right? I don't know about you, but I know that I'm weak. I know that if it was left to me, man, I would have made a shipwreck a long time ago of my faith. I would have turned away. In fact, you know what? I would have ran away. But Jesus Christ, through his supernatural provision, he has supplied for me the strength that I need. The strongest man. I know they have those strongest man competitions on ESPN and all that stuff. The strongest man ain't strong enough to last, to endure. None of us are. We're weak. But guess what? He's strong. He's strong. In fact, the Bible calls God, who Jesus Christ was the Son of God, God in the flesh. It says that God is almighty. Put those two together. That means he can do all things that he puts his mind to. He can do all things. That's the strength that we're tapping into when we have Christ in us, working through us. Now listen, sometimes we like to take this verse and make it to mean some things that it doesn't really mean. I always wanted to dunk a basketball. Right? I'm 6'2", and there are guys who are 6'2" that can dunk a basketball. But they've got like a 4-foot vertical, okay? And they don't weigh 260 pounds like I do, okay? So I always wanted to dunk a basketball, but this verse does not mean that Ben Simpson can dunk a basketball through the powers of Christ, right? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that through the power of Christ I'm able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. It doesn't mean I'm able to catch a bullet in my teeth. What that means, it doesn't mean that it makes me a superhero. Although God can do miraculous things, no doubt, right? Amen? God can do miraculous things. What this means, though, is that day in and day out, through the power of Christ, I can persevere and I can do all of God's holy will no matter what's going on around me. Right? Doesn't matter what's going on. I can do it because God has given me the strength to do it. He's given me the strength. It's not mine, it's His. He's supplying it for me. And so if I, God forbid, were to lose a child, I can endure. I can do all things because Christ strengthens me. If I lose a spouse, if I lose a job, right? If my truck falls off a cliff, hopefully without me in it, right? I can endure that. Guys, listen to me. No matter what life throws at you, you can endure, and then, here's the important part, continue to honor God. Because sometimes I've seen it happen. When trouble comes, we get through it, but we're done with God. I ain't going back to Him. Goodness gracious. If God's going to take me through that, I don't want anything to do with Him. I've seen people do that. Y'all know anybody like that? You can persevere, and through the strength that He supplies you, you can continue to do all of His holy will. You might be the type of person who's scared to death to share the gospel. You might be the type of person who thinks that they cannot stand in front of somebody and teach or sing or whatever it is. You can do all things, all of God's holy will, through the strength that He provides. You probably know well that famous verse in Isaiah chapter 40. We like to quote it. We like to put it on pictures and hang it up in our homes because it is an awesome verse. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 38 through 31. Verse 28 through 31 of Isaiah chapter 40 says this. Says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." You see, how does that happen? That happens through the supply of power from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus, gives you that power to soar with wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary. All this, of course, not just spiritually speaking, but physically as well. Because we are not just soul, we are also soul and body. So we need both. And the Bible says that God will supply the strength that we need to rise above our circumstances. So that's why, as we think this morning about a relationship with Jesus, that's the secret to the contented life. That's the first reason we see in the text here. But secondly, we see that a relationship with Jesus provides you hope in the bad times. Because y'all, they're going to come. A relationship with Jesus provides you hope in the bad times. Look at verse 11 and 12 here in our text. And I want you to notice the things that he points out here. Verse 11 and verse 12. Notice that he talks about humble means. That means poor. "I know how to be poor," he said. Notice he also talks about being hungry. He knew what it was to miss a meal or two, to be starving, to be hungry. Also, he talks about there in verse 12 about suffering need. Paul knew the depths. And listen, that wasn't even the worst of it. And we're talking about a guy who was imprisoned numerous times, beaten, had to fight wild animals, was constantly running for his life in places, thrown in jail, like I said, time and time again, shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake, all these things. I mean, he knew what it was to have trials and tribulations. And you know what? Some of you in here do as well. You know, again, sometimes you speak from experience, and I want to be honest with you, at this point in my life, I really don't have any of those deep valleys yet in my life. But you know what? They're coming. At the age of 33, I've yet to experience, except for the loss of my grandmother. But even then, she was older, right? I mean, not that old, but nevertheless, when grandma dies, you kind of, that makes it a little bit better because she lived sort of a full life. I've yet in my life to experience that heartbreaking, heart-wrenching thing. But some of you have. And you stand as testimonies, even to be here today, you stand as testimonies that God provides hope in the middle of those awful circumstances, in those bad times. You could stand and you could testify that God carried you through. There's no way you would have done it without Jesus in your life. And as you look back, it makes sense because of Jesus, right? It's not that He got you through, but He makes sense of it all. Why is that? Guys, that's because we have a God that cares for us. Now think about this. We have God who gave us Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that He who did not spare His own Son, won't He give you everything you need? Right? That's hope right there. He's given you the greatest thing in the world. You can trust Him with the greatest thing in the world, Jesus Christ. He's given it. So in those bad times, you know that He's going to supply your every need, because He's already given you the greatest provision that you need in Jesus Christ. But we see in Matthew chapter 6, this is one of those quintessential passages that just gives us hope in those times of trouble and trial. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in the 25th verse. I want to read this to you and just to remind you that Jesus, when you have that relationship with Jesus, He provides you hope in the middle of those tough times. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says this. This is Jesus speaking. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, not for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not worthy much more than they? Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in a furnace, notice this, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Why? Because God's going to provide. When you're facing, again, maybe you lose a job, and you go to buy groceries, you need groceries, and the money's just not there. God provides in miraculous ways. He provides through the people of God, and He provides through other people who love God. And when that need knows, again, I don't have any stories in my own life, but you all know stories where God just miraculously out of the blue provides for people. Guys, that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. But you know what? Maybe it's not material things. Maybe it's your very life that they're after. Flip with me over to Romans 8. This is another passage that just shows us that Jesus provides hope in bad times. Romans 8, verse 31 is an awesome passage of Scripture as we think this morning about these bad times that a person might face. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. This is one of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture, one of the most hope-filled passages. Romans 8, verse 31 says this. What then shall we say to those things or to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it's written, you are for your sake were being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you have God, you get all of that. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When you're in that valley, you look up and you say, I got Jesus. And that's all I have. That's all I need. Even if that's all you have, that's all you need. That's all you need. But what about the good times? Third, I want to show you here in the text. A relationship with Jesus keeps you dependent in the good times. In the bad times, He provides you hope. And it's in those bad times, guys, we know this, it's easy to cry out to God and to lean on God and be dependent on God when everything's falling apart. But what about when everything's just perfect? It's in those moments, isn't it, when we easily turn from God and we think, I got this. You know, we forget about Him because we don't feel at that moment our need for Him. But a relationship with Jesus keeps you dependent in the good times. Look at verse 11 and 12 again here in our text. He mentions prosperity and having a full belly and having abundance and all those things. You ever notice that it's hard to pray on a full stomach? Right? When you have everything you need, right? I mean, that's when it's hardest to pray. That's why the Bible always puts prayer with fasting, right? When you want to get serious about prayer, the Bible says you fast. You don't eat. Why? Because that physically forces you to feel your need, your dependence on something. And when we have a full belly, when we have abundance, when everything's going all peachy keen, then we forget how much we need Him. But a relationship with Jesus always keeps us dependent. It always reminds us how much we need God. When everything's going good, we tend to focus on the stuff more, don't we? But always remember what Jesus tells us. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Jesus tells us here that life, I want you to hear this, Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 15. Luke chapter 12, 13 through 15. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? Then he said to them, Notice this, y'all. Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Guys, even when you have everything you need, everything and everything you want, that's not what life is about, is it? Right? I mean, we watch the lifestyles of the rich and famous, and I don't guess that comes on anymore. Now it's MTV Cribs or whatever, you know. And we watch those things, and we see all those things. It looks like they've got everything. But you know what? Next week, you're reading the tabloids. They're getting a divorce, or they're going through something else, all right? Or they commit suicide, or just all these awful things. Why? Because happiness ain't found in stuff. You can have a garage full of cars. I don't know if you're a car person, right? You can have loads of money in the bank. You can have everything you think you need, diamond rings, necklaces, drive the Lexus, all those things. It ain't going to matter. It ain't going to make you happy. Because at the end of the day, those things are going to tarnish. They're going to get torn up. They're not going to last. But Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will last forever. Our life doesn't consist in stuff. So even in those moments when we have everything and we feel okay. You know, you ever ask somebody for a prayer request and they say back to you, "Nah, I'm all right." What? Are you kidding me? You need prayer for something. I know you do. You ain't all right. But when we have everything we need, we feel like we're all right. And we tend to stray at that moment from God or forget about God. But when we have a relationship with Jesus, we are always reminded that every breath we breathe is from Him. Every bite we eat is from Him. Every time we button our shirt, it's from Him. And the very life that you have now and forevermore in heaven is from Him. That's what a life, a relationship with Jesus, it does. It keeps you dependent. And you know what? Paul was actually independent here on earth, wasn't he? He said, I don't need your money. I'm glad you sent it. I rejoice because of what it profits you. But I'm continuing the way. And that's what we need to get to, guys. Where we're not dependent on stuff. We're dependent on God. We become independent of the world things, but dependent on God. clinging to Christ. That's where it's at. A relationship with Jesus keeps you dependent in the good times. And then finally this morning, and this isn't in our text, it's underneath our text. It's the foundation for which Paul is saying these things. A relationship with Jesus is the secret to a contented life, because a relationship with Jesus guarantees your place in heaven, doesn't it? Think with me, as I said a moment ago, Paul's in prison. He doesn't know if he will live or if he'll die. Go with me back to verse 21 of chapter 1 of Philippians. I want you to see this. The entire title of this series, as I called it, is Exalting Christ in Life and in Death. No matter what comes our way, we're going to glorify God. We're going to praise God. But notice what he says here. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, that'll mean fruitful labor." All these things. Actually, go back with me to verse 20. He says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I'll not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." He wasn't afraid to die. "Kill me. You just send me to Jesus." Guys, that's where the foundation of an unshakable, a consistency comes from. Because Jesus is yours, and you are Jesus's. You've got that guaranteed place in heaven. You know, that's what Jesus told us. John chapter 14. He said, "I'm about to go away," but he says this, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms," or many mansions in the King James. "If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you." He said, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you." In other words, if you have Jesus, you've got a guaranteed place in the Father's house. Jesus went on to say, they asked him, "Jesus, how do we know where you're going? How do we get there?" And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one gets to the Father's house. No one gets to the Father except through me." And so when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed your place in heaven forevermore. And guess what? That leads to contentment right now. We don't have to wring our hands. We don't have to worry. I've seen people die, and they die with great anxiety because they don't know where they're going. They're hoping they're going to get to heaven, but you know what? They didn't know Jesus. And they know they didn't know Jesus. They're just hoping somehow that their goodness will outweigh their badness. And I've got news. It never does. Friend, are you here this morning and you've brought in a load, a burden? You're not content. Life is a struggle emotionally for you, spiritually for you, physically for you. A relationship with Jesus changes that. It gives you a new hope, a new perspective. It leads to a contented life, a life that is happy, a life that is joyful, a life that is satisfied. Paul said he learned it. And I'm not saying when you come to Christ, everything all of a sudden just gets perfect. It doesn't. But you face those things differently with Jesus, because Jesus provides that strength to endure it and to honor God in the midst of it. Friends, this morning I've got one prayer for you and one prayer for me. May you be consistently content no matter the circumstances because of Christ, who strengthens you. May you exalt Jesus Christ in life and in death.